Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together and honor you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, we can come and learn. We come with hearts of expectancy, Lord, ready to receive your word. We expect, Lord, to receive great things from you today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today, my mom is going to speak for us. So, Mom, if you want to come up here. And Josh, you want to pray for her? Lord, we thank you for Mom. We thank you that this discipleship will be anointed by you and that you will speak through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, Luke asked me to speak the day before yesterday, and I was talking to Matt, and we were talking about grace and mercy, and he had a lot of good stuff, and I said, hey, how about your dad just do it, because I feel like the way he was articulating and explaining it was really good. And Luke goes, well, I really want you to speak this week. So I tried to get up early and kind of throw some stuff together, so we'll see what happens. But I do look forward to him sharing that because he's got some really good revelation on grace. The thing that the Lord's been working with me on is just the escalation of the moral decay I see all around me. And it's frightening. When you talk to people, there's not a soundness of mind anymore. And people that are churchgoers, family, people at work, they just aren't making righteous decisions at all. And it doesn't seem to faze them. It's like it's the norm. It's going over their head. And it kind of reminds me of the days of Noah. You know, he was a preacher of righteousness, but when we look at what happened, he got on that ark with his family and no one else was on there. That means he was preaching and no one was getting saved. No one believed the truth. And as a result, they were left outside the ark. And I don't want to be outside the ark. And so I think that the division between believers and non-believers is going to become more dramatic. And I think you're going to be thought of as very strange as you walk out your faith. And I think that it's really important right now that we commit to the Lord as never before, where we draw a line in the sand. We say, I am committed to following him no matter what happens. And if we look in the Bible, it says in there for you to be separate. It says in James 4:4 that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And James 1:27 also says that you need to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And I think the lines can get blurred, and I think it will be easy to get sucked away without even seeing it. And I was telling my sister and Matt this week, it's like I feel like I need to just bear hug the cross to not get swooped away in the tornado of all the things that are going on with the world, because I see so many people making really bizarre choices without even seeing they're wrong anymore. People just don't see right from wrong. And it seems really obvious, like Lady Gaga. How many people in mainstream society embrace her and think she's great? And it seems pretty obvious to me that she represents nothing of the Lord. And so I think it's really important for us to step up and make a greater commitment and strengthen our relationship with the Lord, because you need to hang on, because I think you can get sucked away without even realizing it a little at a time, because what is ungodly is becoming the norm. And you can't really afford to have one foot in the world, and you can't really afford to be worrying about being rejected or seeking other people's approval. One of the things that Matt and I were talking about this week was Matthew 16:24-25. Where he says, if you're going to come after him, you need to seek him in his will first. And we know that from Matthew 6:33. That's been taught a lot here about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he'll add all the things you need. But I think he goes on to say, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And I think that part, sometimes we cringe at. But I think if we realize that as we seek him, and speak and do those things that he wants, the natural result is that yourself gets denied, because his wants become your wants. And then your comforts become less significant. Our effort needs to be to become one with him, like it talks about in John, that Pastor Mitch has spoken so much about. And then if we look at John chapter 15, if we would turn there, he kind of talks about our relationship with him and how important it is. He starts out saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You notice there they're both getting cut on. Whether you get cut off or you get pruned, either way, it's going to be somewhat painful. So I'd say you need to do what it says in the following verses. Verse 3 says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And that's the bottom line. I think when you start thinking that you can do things on your own, you'll start drifting from the Lord. And I think it's so incredibly important for us to wake up and realize how serious that commitment needs to be to follow him every day, one day at a time. And then if we go back up, he says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That's one of the ways you're going to stay hanging on to that cross, is staying in his word. And I know we've said that a lot here at Life. I mean, the word is so important, but it really is. It's your lifeline. It's how you're going to stay clean. It's how you're going to stay close to him. It's how you're going to build your relationship with him. And you have to remember, apart from him, you can do nothing. And some other things that the Lord kind of impressed upon me that I can do to stay close to him is to seek him first, as we said, to pray about everything, as it says in the word. And that's going to strengthen your connection, and you will begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as you follow that and practice that, that will grow in your life. And he will go, the Bible says the Spirit was given to guide you into all truth. And I think in this day and age, you're going to need it, because the truth looks like a lie and the lie looks like the truth if you listen to the world. You have to diligently work on your faith. We've said this before, that work is a four-letter word, and that doesn't mean it's bad, but it does take effort. And you have to discipline your mind every day. If you just let it go, it will think what the world's feeding it. So you really have to, I just want to encourage you to make the effort to control your thoughts. Think about what you're pondering. It affects your heart, and out of that comes the issues of your life. And the big thing that I notice with people that I see that say they're churchgoers and they're not, one of the things I told Matt, it's like a pendulum. You see them going back and forth. They'll speak faith, and then they'll do something that's just the opposite. And I didn't really understand it, and I started thinking about James 1, verses 6 through 8. So let me turn there. James 1, verse 6, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And sometimes you talk to people and they're going, "Well, why are my prayers answered? You know, I believe God for this or that." But you listen to their speech. And James goes on to talk about your tongue and the things that you're letting come out of your mouth. You're not speaking his word. You're not exercising. He's talking about being able to bridle your tongue. Well, that takes effort. And as you speak and the things come out, you can see the wavering, the pendulum back and forth. They're in faith at one point, and then the next point, you can tell that they're not. And they're going, "Why don't I receive anything? Why didn't my prayers get answered?" You have to be committed that you are going to believe what the word says, regardless of what's going on around you, no matter how you feel. People are really feeling-based. And I think to overcome that takes a lot of effort for some people. But it's worth the fight, because I think, like I said here in the last times, it said that if the days weren't shortened, the elect would barely make it. And I think we are in the end. And I think we really need to reevaluate our commitment and to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And I know these things are repeated over and over. Stay in the Word, stay close to him, follow the Holy Spirit. But they're vital. I really think that you can get swept away and not even see it happening, if that makes sense. And finally, it said, and I think Nick touched on this, but I didn't get to actually be here when Nick was speaking, but I know he had talked to me about he must increase, but I must decrease. I think as you lose your identity in him, he will increase in your life, and then your prayers do get answered. You do have peace and joy. You will make it. You will make it in the ark if you're following him, and he is increasing and you're decreasing. And finally, I know I threatened to play a song, and Luke was just like, you do that, and I just might sing. And so I thought, well, we better not. But I don't know if y'all, my boys are really tired of this because I keep playing this song, and I try to play it in my car so they don't have to listen to it. But the reason I'm playing it so much is I want it to be a prayer. I want it to be something that I get in my head that I'm committed to every day, and it's Live What I Believe by Russ Lee. I don't know if you guys have heard it. And he talks about, these are the days for the children of faith to stand up and be counted. Now is the time for the light in us to shine on whoever's around it. One life can be the proof of the hope that is you. I'm going to live what I believe. I'm going to walk that line. If it costs me everything, I'm going to stand for what is right so that everyone can see it's Jesus that they need, and I'm going to live what I believe. The world will see God's grace when we work and we pray, and then the love like we mean it. If there's ever been a day to give ourselves away, I think we're in it. There's a passion deep inside for my life to testify. Lord, let me be used as a witness for you. With faith and conviction, you've called me by your name, and I will not be ashamed. I'm going to walk that line. I'm going to stand for what is right. It's Jesus that they need. And I think not only for yourselves to make it on the ark, but for other people. You've got to make that commitment. You've got to, I would like to encourage you today that if you are kind of wish-washy, that you put an end to it, and then you go, I'm going to follow him no matter the cost, because that's what it takes.
I would do a hand clap for me not singing, but, you know, that's just too much. All right, so, well, praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting that Mom talked about that, because I was praying this morning. I had had something, you know, prepared beforehand, actually about a week beforehand, that I wanted to talk about. But as I was praying this morning, the Lord started talking to me specifically exactly about what she talked about this morning. And he brought me to the verse where he said, the cares of this world, where the sower goes out and sows the seed. And he says, some, you know, fell and the cares of this world came in on thorny ground. And the thorns represented the cares of this world and all the distractions and the things that the world seeks after. And so that came in and it choked the word out. It kept the word from producing in that person's life. It kept the seed that was planted from coming up and bearing fruit. And the interesting thing from landscaping, if you know anything about that, is that weeds grow really fast. In fact, they have a tendency to like to grow faster than plants that you've planted. So the weeds have a tendency to try to come in and real fast and choke everything out and try to come up faster than your plants. So you have to constantly be on guard, regularly and diligently, uprooting the weeds as they come up. And saying, you know what, I'm not going to accept that, I'm not going to receive that. You can't just passively permit them to exist, otherwise you're going to end up with a bed full of weeds. So that's, for me, that made sense because we do landscaping all the time, and I see plenty of weeds, more than I would like. So that's the scripture that the Lord brought to my mind, is that the cares of this world we'll choke it out. And the thing about the cares of the world is, you know, my mom said it, you don't always see it. And I think that's one of Satan's tools, is deception. You don't always see it when it's coming. That's part of the tool, the evilness of deception, is that even though it's there, you don't necessarily see it as something that's happening. It very slowly. You know, if you're the way that, you know, stuff creeps in, the way that Satan creeps in, he doesn't come in all at once and just try to knock you down because you'd see it as an attack. He slowly tries to deteriorate that wall. He slowly tries to tear you down. And now I see how this ties into what the Lord gave me earlier in the week. It suddenly makes sense because the scripture verse he was talking to me about earlier in the week was, I went by the vineyard of the slothful, and the wall was fallen down, and it was grown up in thorns and thistles and in vines. If you think about that, that's not something that happens just one morning you're there, everything looks great, and the next morning you wake up, the wall's fallen down, everything's grown up in weeds and looks terrible. It's something that happens over time. And he said it's the vineyard of the slothful. We have to be diligent in seeking God every day. If you fall into the pit of mediocrity, the pit of being, you know, lukewarm, not fully passionate and on fire for Christ, you lose that first love, then you'll fall into this pit, and it slowly begins to deteriorate slowly. And the problem is with deception is that you're deceived and you don't see it. So it's something that happens slowly. So you have to get before God and go, Lord, I want to see, I want you to shine your light on this and show me with an honest heart before him. Show me if there's any areas in my life where I've been deceived. Because God can open your eyes and show you any areas where you've been deceived, where deception has crept in, where you're living in a lie, you know, something that isn't true. And no one should live in a lie, because we have a God, the God, we have the truth of the universe right here before us in his word. And when we have that much truth, you shouldn't have to live in a lie. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so laziness, though, will kill your seed. Laziness will destroy your seed. Let's see here. Where did I write my stuff down at? Well, anyway, the Lord had been dealing with me about laziness. He'd been talking to me about that. He wanted me to talk to you about that. And he said that laziness is a result of pride. The laziness is a result of pride, because you don't think that you should have to do that, or you don't feel that that is what you should do right now because you have some other thing that's more important. He said laziness is a result of pride, and I was like, Lord, I don't quite understand that. How could laziness be a result of pride? You know, I thought puffed up, proud people always, you know, trying to like do stuff so that they look better, and they're always... He said, well, Luke, part of being lazy is you're putting what you think is important, which is not doing anything, above what I say to do, which is doing something. So therefore, laziness is pride. So, you know, the Lord said that he hates a proud spirit. And I don't think I want the Lord to hate my spirit if I'm being lazy. So walking in laziness, I realized, is something that's pretty serious. The Lord takes that very seriously. A lazy and a proudful spirit is not something that he enjoys, that he wants to be around. And you know, I was thinking about it. I was going, you know, if you had a relationship with someone and you were really lazy, you didn't do anything, you just kind of laid there on the couch, you know, let's go do this. Nah, I don't feel like it. Let's go do that. Nah, I don't feel like it. Pretty soon you get the idea that this person is pretty lazy. They don't feel like doing anything. So unless you don't feel like ever accomplishing anything, you probably wouldn't spend a lot of time with them, right? I mean, it makes sense. It sounds a little bit harsh, perhaps, but it makes sense. You go, how useful is this one to furthering my goals and ambitions if they just lay around? Not very useful for goals and ambitions if they're laying around all the time. Maybe if your goals are, you know, to set the world record for sleeping or something. But other than that, not very useful. So the Lord gave me, he goes, in the same way, Luke, when I'm looking for someone that I can use in my kingdom, he goes, if you're lazy, he goes, I can't use you. If you're just sitting around and every time I ask you to do something, you're like, nah, I'm doing this and I don't feel like doing that. I'm tired, so that's my excuse when I'm tired. I'm not a very nice person. My attitude comes out. No. He's saying that's laziness and that's pride, and I can't use that, Luke. I can't use that. So he said, I want you to tell them that laziness is pride, and when you're being lazy, I can't use you in my kingdom. That laziness will kill the anointing that God has placed on your life. So don't walk in laziness. So that's what I have for today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you have put a diligent and upright spirit within us, Lord, so that we can pursue, Lord, your kingdom passionately for you. In your name I pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the word that we have received today, Lord, that we don't have to walk in the ways of the world, but we can walk in you. In your name I pray. Amen.